Amen. Great music this morning. I sure loved every part of it. I was asked to be in the orchestra this morning, and I thought that was a good thing. Amen. And I told them they would kick me out if I played anything or sang a song. But anyway, I'm so glad to be here. I've known your I kind of know your pastor more than we know because of Brother Jerva. And, you know, we go to church to church. And if I mention your pastor anywhere near here, always good things. You got a good preacher here. And always people kind. And yes, I mean that. And I just appreciate that. And I appreciate the opportunity to be back here. I was here on a Sunday night. Came by here and didn't know Jeff and Wanda were here at the point. I just came by here and to meet Brother Parrish. And lo and behold, I found somebody that I was in school with many, many years ago. Let me introduce my wife. I just married. And honey, stand up, please. Jody, she's from Michigan. And we were just married in November. And yeah, I've got gray hair. She's got dark hair. Amen. But some of you that don't know, I was in a terrible car wreck in 2010. And I was the only survivor out of the three of us. My wife of 33 years was taken. One of my good friends, Jeff Kane and Terry Kane, were all killed. They cut me out of the car, and I was in serious condition when I went into trauma, and God saved my life that day, and that's how Grace Through the Valley kind of started at a church about a month after I was in the wreck, called and asked me to come and speak on the grace of God in Okeechobee, Florida. I went there and spoke, and it's just kind of carried on. Here it is, 2012. We travel full-time. We have no home, and our home is our car. We travel from meeting to meeting. Next Sunday in North Carolina, and then we leave for a four-day meeting way up near the Canadian border. And in fact, Brother Larry Whitty, I don't know if you remember him from school, but he went to school with you and Brother Lou back at Bible Baptist there. Larry Whitty, been faithful all these years up near the Canadian border there. And so we'll preach, my wife and I will preach, just kidding. My wife and I, you can laugh, it's church, amen? But anyway, I'm so glad to be here. My brother speaks highly of your pastor and you're this church. And but anyway, God bless you for having me today. John chapter 11, I want to try to get you out of here at a reasonable time because I don't want you to throw anything at me, amen? And I will really try to work on the time. But I do have a message today. I prayed much, much, much about today and asked the Holy Spirit to please come down on this place and speak to your hearts. When I was in the wreck, it was no accident with God. There's never an accident with God. God was not sleeping at the helm the day July 4th, 2010 at 2:33 in the afternoon. He was not sleeping. He was awake. God's sovereignty was good. He knows exactly what he's doing. We've had many, many people saved. We were traveling this way. It was in a rest area in West Virginia. And stopped in a rest area there. And we were going in. And I told my wife, there was two people on a bench there. And I told my wife as we went in, I said, when I come out, I'm a witness to these two people. And so I went over there. My wife came over there. The one lady said that she was saved, but the other gentleman said, his name was Terry, said he wasn't saved. Gave him the gospel, and he bowed his head in that rest area and accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. They're everywhere. And we just got to be aware of people around us that need the Savior. They're here in Fort Mills, Rock Hill, Charlotte, everywhere you go. And people are hungry to know the answers to this life and the difficulties that they're going through. And Jesus is the only one that's going to take them out of their difficulty. Amen? And so John chapter 11 in your Bibles, I'll read a few verses. If you'll please stand for the reading of God's Word. If you can't stand, don't stand. But if you can, please stand. The verse number 1 says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary was anointed the Lord with ointment, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the what? Glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Verse number 10. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. Boy, that's good. That's good Bible right there. Amen. Boy, that'll set you on fire. Let's skip down because of the sake of time. Verse number 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And let's skip down to verse number 19. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. This morning I want to speak to you on the subject, life after death. I think many times, many of us in this room, we've all said the same thing, Lord, if you'd have been here, or if so-and-so would have been here, that wouldn't have happened. All of us have probably said that sometime in our life. And so I want to preach a message this morning, life after death. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the story of Lazarus. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus raised him from the dead. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege to read this story in your King James Bible. And Lord, I do pray that you'll bless us today in a special way. God, I pray that you'll help me. Help me, please, to remember. I pray that the Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you, ask you for power as I have many, many times, but I ask you today specially for power. I pray today if there's one here that's lost, does not know 100% sure that when they die, they'll go to heaven, I pray today they will meet you. Lord, I pray if there's someone here discouraged, I pray today they'll be encouraged. I pray if there's someone here depressed, I pray that they'll come out of their depression because of your love for them. Lord, I pray now, meet with us in a special way in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Sometimes life does not make sense. Pain, death, destruction, and on we could go because of all the difficulties of this life. We live in a world that's upside down. Right is now wrong and wrong is now right. And we live in a time where it's upside down and difficulties are throughout our land. And the only thing that's going to get our land out of difficulties is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. There was a man named Dr. Charles Weigel. One day his wife told him she was leaving him and she took off. Dr. Lee Robertson, the great preacher out of Chattanooga, most of us would know his name of yesteryear. Dr. Lee Robertson one day got a phone call and his daughter had died, and because of that he started Camp Joy. Ron Hamilton, the great Ron Hamilton, as I was on staff at a church in South Carolina where he was at for 5 years, went to the eye doctor and found that he had cancer in his eye. But we can look at difficulties and situations, and I'm here today and I look out across this great crowd here at Bible Baptist, and though we all look pretty good on the outside and everything looks grim, but inside there's difficulties. We all have them. There's hurts. There's a man I met back there that had surgery on his shoulder, and I felt bad for him because they know how painful that may be. But there's all across this room, there's difficulties. Whether you're a little child or a medium or an older Christian, we all have difficulties today. And in our story here in the Bible, the first point number one, if you're taking notes, if you're not, fine. But it says the believer's dismay. In verse 21, it says, Martha tells Jesus, if thou hast been there, this wouldn't have happened. You fill in the blank this morning in your life. If thou hast been there, blank wouldn't have happened. Because lo and behold, there's times in our life we say, Lord, where are you? Where are you, Lord? Why am I going through what I'm going through? Where are you, Lord? I need help, Lord. You've had dismayed. You've been dismayed. Maybe in a marriage. Maybe you were in a marriage, a good marriage, and it was a marriage that you were both faithful, and one day you came home and there was a note on the table and your wife or husband lost you and you were dismayed in your life. Maybe one day you went to the doctor, a simple doctor's appointment, and the doctor told you that you have cancer and you've gone through chemo, as my dear brother's brother-in-law Steve is now has lung cancer and only a while to live. That's Pat's son. Maybe you've had the phone call, the late phone call that comes in the middle of the night, and someone says to you, they say, you need to pray for so-and-so. They've been in a car wreck. But the point number one is the believer's dismayed. We've all been dismayed. Yes, you may be saved this morning, and yes, we can be on top side, but all of us have been dismayed in our life. There's been difficulties and troubles, and we have a nation that's in trouble, and finances and joblessness, and you're trying to find a job and difficulties paying this, your bills. Yes, you can be dismayed. On July 4th, 2010, and let me back it up to July 2nd of 2010, my wife and I were watching, and by the way, let me say this, my wife is fine with me talking about my late wife. She knows, and I've watched her cries. Tears come to her eyes. I tell this story all over America and watch people come down the aisle and get saved because of what God did in my life and through my wife's home going. So don't sit there and think about that. I wonder what his wife is thinking, because she's fine. She is fine with it. And I'll never forget that 2nd of July, how that we planned a trip to go to St. Augustine, Florida. My wife and I had been in the ministry. We'd been missionaries and assistant pastor and preacher, and we've gone through the whole gamut of ministry, and now I'm in evangelism, and I never dreamed that I'd ever be in this part, in this point in my life. But on July 2nd, on a Friday night, watching the grandkids, we had decided to go to St. Augustine, Florida. We had planned the trip, and on Sunday after church, Jeff and Terry Kane was driving. Was a fine deacon, a fine bus worker. One of the bus workers that you'd want in your church. One of the most finest deacons of all time, and a deacon that was just a good man. And if there was something going on in the church, Jeff and Terry were always there. Whether it was cooking breakfast, cleaning the church, working on the roof of the church, whatever it took, Jeff was there. But on that day, July 4th, we decided to go to St. Augustine. My wife and I felt like we were called to start a church in Sebastian, Florida. Now, I'm going to talk to you about being dismayed. On that day, Jeff and Terry pulled up to the front of the house, and we packed the car, and boy, I remember my son telling my wife, said, boy, it's good that you and Dad are going out of town. You deserve to go out of town for a while. We had planned to go to a Bible Baptist church there in St. Augustine on Sunday night. I was going to talk to the preacher about supporting us starting a church. And so we took off about 1:10 in Sunday afternoon on July 4th. We stopped, as all good Baptists, we stopped at the chicken store and bought chicken. Amen. I mean, don't give me no grilled chicken. Don't give me fried. Give me deep fried chicken, as deep as you can get it in the grease, amen? Right. Give me a buttered biscuit and some honey, amen? Man, I'm making you hungry, ain't I? You're saying, preacher, hurry up and preach. I'm hungry. I sat down one day in a church not been too long ago, and the people came back on Sunday night. I bet half the crowd ate fried chicken that afternoon. But we stopped at the store there, one of the Publix shopping store there in Florida. You folks may know where Publix is there in Florida. And we stopped there and bought some fried chicken. And we commenced to do business with fried chicken. Amen. We got in the car. Jeff was driving. I was in the back seat. And we were headed to I-95. We're eating chicken, throwing the bones out the door for the night. Amen. We had what they call turkey buzzards in Florida. They're huge blackbirds that eat everything that dies in Florida. We're throwing bones out the windows and we're eating chicken, just having a good time of fellowship. But the dismay was coming. The dismay was coming that day. You see, let me stop here and say this. July 4th was the last morning I ever got dressed with my first wife of 33. You husbands in this room, let me speak to you for a minute. Don't take your wife for granted. My wife and I had planned to retire from the ministry one day and live happily ever after, but God had a different plan for our life. You wives, don't take your husbands for granted, because he could be gone in a heartbeat. We got dressed that morning, and after the wreck was over and my mind began to come back, I thought to myself, did I listen to every word my wife said that morning? You see, sometimes we husbands, sometimes we'll be listening, but we really won't be listening. Can we say amen?
Yeah,
every man ought to say amen about that. Amen? Amen. And I said to myself after she was gone, I said, did I really listen to my wife that morning? Did I really take note of every word she said? Did I really answer her thinking about what she asked me? But we got on the road on 95 heading north, about a two and a half hour drive from Melbourne to St. Augustine. We got on the road, and there it was a nice sunny day, and you can go on the internet and see the story of the accident. I think it's still circulating on the internet about the wreck. And we were there, and there was a pickup truck in front of us with a grill. This man had been called by his family and said, would you go by so-and-so's house to get the grill? The grill we have is not going to work for our family reunion. Please stop by and get the grill. And this man, out of the kindness, stopped and got the grill. I'm going to talk to you about being dismayed now. Remember that. All of us are dismayed at some time in our life. He put the grill in the back of that truck and tied it down. He thawed. And as we were going down 95, about 70 miles an hour in a left-hand lane, we got behind him, and the grill preacher came out. And when it came out, Jeff tried to go around the grill. We ended up, if you know of Florida, the 95, most dangerous highway in our nation today. You go up down 95, as I have, from southern to northern, see cross after cross of people that has lost their lives on 95. But I was going down through there, and we went into the ditch there in the middle medium, and the car began to slide a little bit. The tail end of the car began to slide, and we came across the two lanes of traffic, never hitting another car. But lo and behold, friend, there was what they call a concrete culvert across there that took water off 95, and when it hit that concrete culvert, the three witnesses said, a dad, a mom, and a daughter, said, preacher, it was like somebody taking that car and put it in a slingshot, shot it into that palm tree. There was a huge palm. The car went up in the air. Now, I tell this story all over. When I woke up, the car had crushed around me. The three of them, my wife, Jeff and Terry, when the car went up in the air, it threw them up in the air. When the car hit the palm tree, it collapsed the roof, and they were killed instantly. I didn't know that at the time. I didn't know that they'd passed away. All I knew was when brother, he was a Christian guy. He came up to the car, and he said, I was yelling, Ruth! That was my wife. Ruth, are you okay? Jeff, are you okay? Terry, are you okay? Nobody answered. You see, you talk about being dismayed. I was dismayed that day. I was afraid I was going to burn to death in the car. I kept thinking the car was going to catch on fire. I begged the guy to pull me out of the car. He said, you don't understand. The car is crushed around you. They will have to cut the car apart to get you out. I passed out and I hit my head pretty hard when the car hit the palm tree at about 65 miles an hour. I hit my head, and some days I have memory trouble. My wife knows that. Sometimes I freak out, but anyway. I can joke, I do. But when I woke up, Mr. Hobbs says, we're going to get you out of the car. Everything's going to be okay. And I pass out. The saddest thing I thought that he told me sometime after the wreck is he said, I begged people, preacher, to come down and help me. He said the rest of them stood up on 95 looking down at the car smashed. And he said, nobody but myself and two police officers would come down there and help. And he said, I yelled up there, hey, I need some help down here. I need some help. And you know what? Isn't that the way it is sometimes? That there's just a few, and I'm preaching right now, there's just a few in our congregations that do most of the work or all the work, while the rest of them stand up on the bank of 95 and say, now you do it. But bless God, there ought to be a whole congregation of us that does all, that wants to get involved in the work. Maybe this one, Mr. Hobbs would have, he just wanted to find out if the rest of them were alive. But he couldn't find out because he was trying to keep me alive. They wheeled me into trauma in Melbourne, Florida. I remember the bright lights, and they said I was yelling for Ruth, Terry, and Jeff. But nobody would answer, friend. Nobody. Yelling for them. They would not answer me, and I would pass out on the gurney there, on the bed there, and I would wake back up, and I'd broken my back, shoulder. I have an eyeball that's been had on the right side, has been operated on twice, will need another operation soon. I had a shoulder, ribs, the whole nine yards. Walked with a cane for a long time, and one day I was preaching, preacher, and that I put that cane down. I was dismayed that day, just like Martha and Mary. Lord, if you would have just been there, maybe my brother Lazarus wouldn't have went home. If you'd have just been there. And all of us at some time or another in our life, we've said that. If you'd have just been there. Dad, if you'd have just been there. Mom, if you'd have just been there. Grandpa, if you had just been there. But Mary and Martha said, Jesus, if you would have just been there. How many times we've rehearsed that in our life. And there I was in the trauma center yelling, Ruth, Terry, Jeff. And nobody would answer. Nobody. Let me stop right there and say this. I was pretty dismayed. But one of the things I was not dismayed made was I remember when my wife was saved. Amen. I remember when she trusted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. I remember Jeff telling his, as we knocked on doors for years, him a deacon and me an assistant pastor there. And I remember hearing Terry's testimony that they knew that they were on their way to heaven when they died. Let me ask you the question, are you saved? Don't answer me. Are you saved? I was preaching in Dr. Lou Jarvis' church one day, and after the service, had many people say, but a young man came up to me after the service, and he said, good message. And I said, well, if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? And he said, I think so. And I thought to myself, you don't have to think so. You can know so. I talked to him for a few minutes. One of the deacons came by, and I said, hey, this man needs to be saved. Took his Bible, knelt at the front altar, and led him to Jesus Christ. You see, if you would have been in the car in 2010 at 233 at mile marker 212.9 and died, would you have woke up in heaven? You see, all of us will be faced with that one day. We were out in Wisconsin preaching and stopped at a place, and we were at a store there, and I asked the lady if she died today, she'd go to heaven. And she said, you know what? I'm a good person. She said, I do a lot of good things, and I do this, and I do that. And I said, ma'am, I said, it's not our good works that will get us to heaven. It's Jesus.
Amen.
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. I said, if you died right now and stood at the gate of heaven, I've used this a couple times, and you stood at the gate, and Paul said, why should I let you into heaven? She said, I'm not sure. I began to watch the wheels turn, preacher, in her head. And I said, ma'am, I gave her the gospel that day, and my wife, praise God, my wife watched me witness to the lady, and she went by the store door there and started to pray that nobody would come in the door until we were finished.
Amen.
And she bowed her head and trusted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. You see, you can know, friend. You don't have to wonder, and you don't have to wait till you're on death's bed. You can know today that you're saved, but the believer's dismayed. And here, Mary and Martha were dismayed about their situation.
Right.
Jesus, if you'd have been there, this wouldn't have happened. But they were dismayed. And goes on to say, here, let me turn my page here. I want to give you a couple things, and I know we've got to hurry. I promised the preacher I'd be out. When we are in pain, we like to point our fingers. Listen to me now. When we are in pain, we like to blame. And boy, I wanted to blame everybody about that. Pretty much that's what Mary and Martha was doing. Jesus, if you'd have been there. When we are in the fire, we sometimes will let the heat of bitterness take over. We'll take bitter. We travel all across America preaching, and I see people that have bitterness on them, and bitterness will control their life, and you can see it on them. I can walk into a church and I can point to the bitter people in a church. Let me tell you something. Yeah, bitterness, you ought to get rid of it today. Because bitterness is like a cancer, and it starts. It may look like a little tick. As I was told out yesterday, we're out shooting guns in the woods. I love guns.
Amen.
The more the merrier. Amen. Amen. Just load me up. I took mine off before I came in. Amen. But the more the merrier. And sometime I can take them out from everywhere. You know. Amen. But a man told me, he said, you better check for ticks. He said, you better check for ticks, Brother Dying. He said, we didn't have much of a winter, and ticks are bad this year. That's what he told me yesterday. And you know what? Ticks are like a cancer. They'll get on you. And if you don't take care of them, they'll grow. And that's the way bitterness, friend, is. That bitterness will get you on you like a little tick, and that tick will be very small. And all of a sudden, you may look down at your leg one day and think, good night, what is that thing? That old tick will be swollen up. Amen?
Right.
That thing will be fat. It'll be real. How many's ever had a tick grow like that on them? Man, they probably everybody in here. Amen? That thing will grow and grow and grow. It almost splits. Almost splits. Let me tell you something. That's what bitterness does. You'll split one day. You'll split one day. You'll put a gun in your head and pull the trigger. You'll split one day in the church aisle here, and you'll split, and you'll tell everything. You'll just get mad at somebody. You'll get angry at the preacher. You get angry at the deacons. You get angry at people in town because of bitterness. But you don't have to carry bitterness, because let me tell you something. When Jesus went to the cross, he paid for all our sins, and he paid for that bitterness you carry today. But the believers were dismayed there. And in our story here, it says, Jesus in verse 39, it says, Jesus said, take ye away the what? Stone. Martha, the sister of him, was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he what? Stinketh. For he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. I was dismayed in my car wreck, but I watched presence and the glory of God in our car wreck. I didn't understand, and sometimes you don't understand what you're going through. You know what? When God puts you through a test in your life or a trial, He doesn't put that, He doesn't give you that because he hates you. He gives that to you because he loves you and he wants to watch you move, walk on for God. I can talk to somebody now that's lost a mate and I can comfort them because I've been through it. You go through trials in your life and you think to yourself, how could God use it? God uses our trials. God uses our trials. Amen. That's why many times, man, we get saved and we can use our testimony for God. The believer's hope was life after death. But let me stop right there. Sometimes it takes a death in your soul to have life. Jesus gave us life when he hung on Calvary's cross and he died on Calvary's cross. He gave his life. What did he say? It is finished. Loud he cried. If not for the death and burial and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you and I would be destined for hell. But because Jesus died on Calvary's cross and we accepted him as our personal Savior, one day we'll walk the streets of gold. And by the way, it isn't the gold that I'm looking for when I go to heaven. Come on now, amen? Right. People always say, well, I'll walk streets of gold. We walk on gold when we get to heaven. I'll tell you why I want to get to heaven, because I want to see my Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to see him. I want to bow my head. I've heard people say, boy, I'm going to run and shout. And we may run and shout, but I think there's going to be a time when we bow our knee and every knee shall bow and confess. I think we'll bow to his holiness and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you did on Calvary's cross. Thank you, God, for what you did on Calvary's cross. But did he do it for you one day? Are you saved? Ruth died. Ruth Ann Spadoni died. She was an Italian. I met her in Calumet City, Illinois, on the south side of Chicago. I was a gas station attendant. Back in those days, you paid very little money for gas, and you got a lot of service. Today, we pay a lot of money and no service. Amen? $4.40 out in New England states. A while back ago, we were up there. Washed the windows, and if they were pretty, I'd wash them a long time. I try to think some other way. I'd check, you know, back in those days, washed the windows, checked the oil, did all we could, and we did all, and if they were pretty, we did all we could to keep them in the gas station. And I started talking to Ruth Ann Spadoni. My. Ended up marrying her September 11th, 1976. I didn't know until years later that she was really coming in to meet the other guy. I've been bitter ever since. She told me that years later. She said, you know, honey, she said, I really came in to meet Pete. Stinking Pete.
I'll kill him if I ever see. No.
But there's a believer's hope after death. But sometimes, friend, there comes a time in your life when you've got to die to self. Sometimes you've got to have I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Sometimes we've got to die to self. Sometimes we've got to die to our own, what we want to do in life. And man, after I was in the car wreck and my wife of 33 years was gone and my friends were gone and the funeral, three bodies strewn out in that First Baptist Church of South Bouvard in Melbourne, Florida. Three bodies sat right there in that pew, wept and cried and looked at my wife and thought of all the good years and the sacrifice that she did for this husband, the sacrifice to the ministry, the sacrifice for her Savior. By the way, today she's shouting, amen? Because she's walking those streets and looking at to say, amen? Strung out in that auditorium was my wife, Jeff, and Terry. That day of the gospel, Dr. Lou Gerber was preached at funeral. About standing room only. There was people outside waiting to get into that service of those three people because it was so televised in our area. 60-plus people raised their hand to save that day.
Amen.
The world would look at those lives and say, what a waste. 52 years old and she's gone. What a waste. 60-year-old Jeff, what a wasted life. 60 or 59-year-old Terry, what a waste. Because I'm going to take a story that looks tragic and I'm going to flip it upside down and make it for good. And you may be in this room today and you may be dismayed. You may be mixed up. You may be goofed up. You may be having marriage problems. You may be having difficulties. But you just let God take those things. He'll flip it upside down and make something of your life. I was an old dope head from the south side of Chicago. Smoked pot, snorted cocaine, did it all. God saved my life. November 9th, my own brother was preaching a sermon on a Sunday night, Salt Village Baptist, Salt Village, Illinois, Salt Village Baptist. And he pointed his bony finger at me. I'll never forget, third pew, pointed his bony finger and said, you can look like a Christian on the outside, but on the inside, you're lost as a goose. I've never seen a lost goose, but I knew I was lost that day. I mean that. Conviction of my soul. God was convicting me of my sin and all the baggage that I had from the past and all the baggage of my dope and all the difficulties I was carrying. And they gave the invitation. I walked out the door, out in the parking lot. I got out in the parking lot and God was like, God said, you better get saved. Today is your day. That night, I walked back in down the aisle. They were the preacher, Dr. Haynes, on the heaven now, and my brother standing there, and I said, I want to get saved. I want to get saved. I am tired of living this life. I am tired of my sin. When are you going to be tired of your sin, friend? When are you going to give it up? And you know what? I was talking to someone the other day and said, well, you know, Terry, the guy we witnessed to, well, I smoke and I drink and all. God will take you. When I was saved, I probably had cocaine in my back pocket and pot in the other one. I'm serious now. I'm serious. God will take you just as you are, amen? It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter. What matters that you go to God and say, I want to be saved. I'm tired of my sin. But the believers can be dismayed. But the believers hope they can get. They can allow God to take care of their problems. If you're without Jesus Christ, you're not a believer today. You need to be saved. But the believer's hope, the believer's hope. Ron Hamilton, the great singer, as all of us know. Yes, he had cancer, but here's the good that came out of it. He became Patch the Pirate. Dr. Charles Weigel, the great songwriter, wrote the song, and I got to go back to the first introduction. You may know it better than I do. Wrote the song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus, after his wife walked out the door. You say, you may be here today and you're hopeless and helpless and you don't know what to do. Here was the great Charles Weigel, just lost his wife. She walked out the door and he put his focus on the Savior. David had penned the 23rd Psalms in the midst of great pain. His son had rebelled against him. And in that day, he wrote the Psalms. I think of other people that have gone through trials and tribulations in their life. You ever see preacher, and I'm about through, you ever see preacher when you go to a hospital bed and they're dying of cancer? You walk in there and sometimes you don't really know what to say, but you leave that room, if they're believers, you leave that room and you're blessed.
Right.
You leave that room and that hospital room and you've been blessed and you walk out of there. And I've often said this to myself, I hope if I ever end up on the bed of cancer, I hope I have a spirit like that.
Amen.
That spirit only comes through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Only through Jesus Christ. Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? July 4th, 2010, 212.9, 233 was the last time my wife, Jeff, and Terry were on this earth. When they woke up, they were in heaven. If on the way home today through Fort Mill or Rock Hill and somebody runs a red light or runs a stop sign and hits your car and you go off into eternity, will you go to heaven? Will you go? If you don't know, I beg you, you come today, and I mean it. We'll take the Bible and show you how you can know you're on your way to heaven. If there's bitterness and difficulties in your life and maybe struggles and job struggles and field struggles and difficulties and you think, where are you, God? You're like Mary and Martha, if you're just here. Well, friend, let me give you this. He's here.
Amen.
He's here this morning. But what you got to do, I was driving, I promise I'll close with this. I went home. My son had picked me up at the hospital, brought me home. And I knew that I'd walk through the threshold of where my wife lived, cooked, cleaned. And you know how it is when you walk in a house, you know. And I was debating. In my spirit, I said, I dread walking in that house. I dread walking in that house. Because I know all the memories. It's so difficult. I feel so dismayed. My son got me out of the car. I walked to the car, walked to the front door. They helped me in. All I could do was get to the chair with a broken back and difficulties. And I walked in and began to weep. And it was like a small, still voice that everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. I was driving down the road one day and I said, God, I can't do this. I cannot do this. I can't get through this. God, it is too much for me to handle. I can't do it. And it was like God says, give it to me. Give it to me and it'll be okay. And that day, preacher, I said, okay, God, here it is. And that was a change in my direction, in my life. I finally gave it to Him.
Amen.
See, you, friend, you need to give it to God today. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking. I know I rushed the story, but I promised the time. You're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you died right now of a heart attack or something happened to you on the way home or some you didn't make it through the night, would you go to heaven? You say, Brother Di, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. I know I've trusted Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. Heads bowed, eyes closed, and with a testimony by your hands raised. Yes, I'm saved. I know that. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. As a testimony, slip up your hand. Yes, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. You couldn't slip up your hand. I appreciate you being honest. I appreciate you being honest. But you're here today and you're not sure you're saved. Oh, you may have been baptized one day, but let me tell you something, friend. Baptism won't take you to heaven. You're not sure you're saved. If you died today of a heart attack, not sure you go to heaven, you say, Brother, I pray for me. I'm not sure that if I woke up, I'd be in heaven. And you say, pray for me. Pray for me. Is there one? Is there one? I'll pray for you. Won't embarrass you. Won't call you out. I'll pray for you. Is there one? Come on. Raise it up. Yes, I see your hand. Is there another? Yes, I see your hand. I need to be saved. There's two people down here. I need to make sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I need to know for sure. Along with these three, is there another? Yes, I need to know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I need to know that. Is there another? Maybe you have some other difficulties. Maybe there's some trials that nobody knows about you're going through. Difficulties, problems, bitterness, heartbreak, husband left, wife left. Difficulty with your kids. You say, preacher, pray for me. There's some problems. There's some difficulties in my life. Pray for me. Pray for me. Is there one? Yes, pray for me. There's some difficulties. Difficult, yes. Is there another? Yes. Difficulties. I'm going to pray. If you raised your hand for salvation, I'm going to meet you right down here in front today. If you raise your hand for salvation, I need to be saved. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to talk to you a minute. You come down and meet me down here. Father in heaven, the hands were raised. And I think there was probably others that are going through difficulties and problems. Lord, this is an old-fashioned Baptist church, and I pray they'll come to this altar and deal with their difficulties. Those that raise their hand for salvation, I pray today will be their day of salvation. All of us are faced with this. We'll either accept or reject. If you reject, the penalty is heavy. If you accept, the glorious wonder of being in heaven when you die. Speak now in Jesus' name for His sake.